Okay, we're continuing the Gemara, Makkos Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We're now going to have two pieces of Agada to Gemara, non-halachic Gemara. One discussing the general Yoav ben Tzeruya, and one discussing the Malach HaMaves. As soon as my thing stops unfreezing.
So the old one?
No, this was my wife's. It's even older.
That's what I mean, yeah.
But either one, it's not new that they freeze, right? Business. Okay, the Mishnah said, Nigmar Dino, once the person's sentence was passed, it's just really not even relating to the Mishnah, because it goes to the Ir HaMiklat. So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, okay, Amar Yehuda Rav says the following. Now, if you recall, the Mishnah said that the person stays in the Ir HaMiklat until the Kohen Gadol dies. Even he can't leave for a mitzvah. Remember, he said he can't leave, even though everybody needs him, like the general Yoav ben Tzeruya. So, since the Mishnah mentioned Yoav ben Tzeruya, we're going to discuss his death, and has something to do with this topic over here. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, he says like this: Shtei ta'uyos ta'a Yoav ba'os hashah. Yoav made two mistakes at that time. Okay, what does that mean? Well, let's go over the story over here. Before David died, he commanded his son Shlomo to execute Yoav for having years earlier killed two righteous men, Avner ben Ner and Amasa ben Yesir. These were people who had been generals for people who opposed David or whatever, and really, mitzad halacha, they shouldn't have killed. But Yoav understood that maybe politically it might be better, so better to have them killed. In other words, Yoav was the more politically savvy of the two, and felt it would be better for David if they were killed. But it was in a way where in self-defense, whatever, wasn't so simple, and David wasn't able to kill him. It wasn't such a clear-cut thing. It's definitely something David didn't want that shouldn't have happened, but he couldn't really execute him. So when he died, David said to Shlomo, find a way to kill this Yoav. You're a smart guy. Find a way. So Shlomo found a pretext. Okay, Yoav supported a plot to remove Shlomo with his brother Adoniyahu. Fine. So Shlomo sends one of his officers, Benayo ben Yehuda, to kill Yoav on behalf of the king. That's the story. So he says, you are guilty to be executed. So Yoav made two mistakes that he thought would have saved him. What does the pasuk say? Dirsiv, the pasuk says, Vayonos Yoav el Oel Hashem. Yoav ran to the tent of Hashem, meaning the Mishkan. And he grabbed onto the horns of the Mizbech. Remember, the Mizbech, there's four corners, and on the top corners, there's little protrusions going up. Those are the Karnos HaMizbech. He thought if he grabbed onto the horns of that Mizbech, it would save him from being killed, figuring that it affords him sanctuary for murder, just like in Ir HaMiklat was. That's what he figured. Now, where would he come up with that idea at all from? It's based on a pasuk over here. The pasuk says regarding a murderer, it says in the book of Shmos, Me'im mizbechi tikachen olamus. From beside my mizbech, you shall take him to die. The Gemara learns from there, Me'im, from beside, that the murderer is taken only if he is beside the altar, but not if he's on top of the altar. Okay, we see that the top of the altar protects a murderer. Yoav erroneously assumed that to take him from the horns of the altar that stood in the tent of Hashem would violate the prohibition and not from upon my altar. Okay, so therefore he grabbed the horns. Yeah, okay, so he made a few mistakes. We'll see in a minute what's going on over here. Now, anyway, Yoav knew that ultimately the altar would not save his life, for even Shlomo's men could not forcibly remove him from it. They could still prevent him from leaving it, which case would eventually starve to death. So he knew he wasn't going to get live. He wanted to maybe delay things, whatever. But here's the point. The reason he grabbed onto the altar was to save his possessions for his heirs. Why? Because the possessions that you're killed by a king, for something that's with the government, it goes to the king. Therefore, he sought to ensure that his death would not come at the hands of the king. In which if the king executes you, then all your property goes to the king. If you die from starvation, it goes to your children. So that's number one. Or you just want to prolong his life as much as possible. So therefore, he held on to the altar. Okay? So, interestingly, look at the brackets here. The verse from beside my altar concerns one who killed deliberately. It teaches that the altar protects even a deliberate murderer. Okay. However, that's some poskim. The Rambam says not. It doesn't protect you for long because you got to get off that mizbech. In other words, we can't take somebody off of the mizbech to kill him. Okay, fine. Whatever the reason for that halacha is. So Yoav figures he's going to save himself from that. But he made a couple mistakes. Number one mistake is, first mistake is, it's only if you're on top of the roof, if you're standing on top of the Mizbeach by the horns, by the Karnos, not when you're standing on the ground. But he grabbed it by its horns. So he misunderstood the Pasuk. You have to be on top of the Mizbeach, next to the Karnos of Mizbeach. So he thought it was the Karnos alone were considered upon my Mizbeach. He thought it would protect him. Or, Yoav knew well that the horns are not included upon my altar. However, he understood the verse from beside my altar to be including any part of the altar, not just its roof. Okay, fine. So he misunderstood the Pasuk. You have to be on top of the roof, not next to it holding on to the horns. Number one. Number two, another mistake he made is Shayna Kolate El Mizbeach Bezlamim. Only the Mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash is going to save people. Vutavas Mizbeach Shel Shiloh. He was holding onto the altar in Shiloh, which was the Mishkan. When it says from beside my altar, that implies the altar specifically dedicated to Hashem. That's the Beis HaMikdash. And not a Bama altar, which was in Shiloh. Remember, this was before the Beis HaMikdash was built, so Yoav couldn't have been holding on to the temple Mizbeach. Now, remember, Shiloh is the place where the Mishkan stood for a long time, but at the time with Yoav, the Mishkan had been destroyed, remember, by the Plishtim. So all we had was the altar, which was reestablished at Givon. So it's a whole machlokas, and what are you talking about, the altar of Shiloh? It's a whole problem historically we have over here. We're saying Mizbeach Shel Shiloh. There was no Mizbeach in Shiloh at the time. So Rashi has to change the text over here. It says Mizbeach Shel Bama, a Bama altar. Bama means a place where you can bring korbanos, which is not the Beis HaMikdash. David set that up before the Aron HaKodesh, which was in Ir David. So therefore, that's the problem. So it's not really Mishkan Shiloh, but it was Obama, etc. Fine. So, yes?
Logistically, how do you get to the thing? The Levim and the Kohanim are supposed to stop you. Right? That's why they're there.
I guess they didn't succeed.
Force themselves in.
Hey, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of people around there. You know, there are generally there's a lot of Jews. It's a busy place.
He disguises himself.
How do you stop a terrorist from, if you don't have the metal detectors? How do you stop a terrorist from killing people in front of the Kotel if you didn't have a detective system? There's thousands of people going in there, so you're always amongst thousands going in, and he just jumps right onto the Mizbeach.
Only the Kohanim and Levim going there. People don't go in there. That's the whole point, though.
It's not. The Jews may enter into the Azara to one side of the Aras. It's not that many feet to run from the Azara. It's like, I don't know, maybe like from here to the little to the front door. Yeah. So it's not a lot of time to stop somebody. And Yoav was a general. So he was a well-respected guy. So they didn't know.
You know, I mean, a public warrant for him.
Whatever. So he just ran there. That's all. So that's the first mistake. Two mistakes. We got both mistakes over there. So that's who the Gemara says. Those are Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Those are the two mistakes that Yoav made. So we're bringing this story because the Mishnah mentioned even we need him like Yoav ben Tzeruya. We don't let him go from the city of refuge. And Yoav thought this was some kind of refuge for him. So therefore, we're bringing in this memoir over here.
So he didn't have protection over there. So they took him and killed him.
Oh yeah, they took him right off and they killed him. Abaye said he made a third mistake. Bahanami mitoto. He also made a mistake in this error. To she'ena kolate. On top of all that, the mizbeach, even if the guy is a killer, it only saves a lokohein vavoda biyado. If a kohen is doing his service, okay, and once he finishes avoda, he doesn't get protected at all. Okay, so it was like a double error. It only is for a kohen while he's doing service. We don't take him off the mizbeach. Okay, so that's what Abaye adds this other mistake, because Yoav was not a kohen. He wasn't doing any service in the Beis Hamikdash. So why did Rav not bring that answer before? So Rav omitted this error because he disputes Abaye. He holds that Yoav was correct in assuming the altar would protect him even though he's not non-kohen. Although the altar would not normally afford refuge to a non-kohen, Rav holds that Yoav was different since his death was ordered by the king. Okay, others say no, according to Rav, the altar protects all non-kohanim as well. All right, so machlok is exactly what they hold over there. Fine. Either way, he made a mistake. Vahu zor hoya. He was a non-kohen. Okay, that's one little piece of agadata. Yoav made this mistake and he was killed. Next. One round the topic of someone making three mistakes and thinking they could have refuge on it. We spin off to a further topic. This one's a little bit more challenging to understand because you'll see why. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, Shalosh tos asid sara shel romi litos. Three mistakes the heavenly minister of Rome is going to make when he's trying to get protection. That's already is a little bit, you know, mystical here. What does that mean? The heavenly minister of Rome is Samuel. That's the angel of Esav and his descendants. Rome is synonymous with Edom. So what's going on? When the times of Mashiach are coming, Hashem is going to punish anyone who afflicted the Jewish people, which includes Samuel, that Malach. That's what it says in Yeshaya, who bring a reckoning to everybody, the heavenly legions and the earthly kings on earth. So it means punishment's first going to come to the guardian angels of the nations, and then afterwards the earthly rules. Okay, there's a whole discussion. Why is Hashem punishing him? Samuel's doing his job. He's a Malach. What do you want from him? I'm not going there. But anyway, you know, and what's he coming in a human form? Like, this is one of these kinds of Gemara. It's just beyond us. You just read it. There's mystical stuff going on over here. Okay, anyway, so he made three mistakes as well. Let's see what it says. The Pasuk says what's going to happen. Dechsiv, it says in the Sefer Yeshaya, Mi ze ba me Adam, who is the one who comes from Edom? Chamutz bigadim, his garments are strained, and he comes mi Batsra, from the city called Batsra. Okay, so now interesting. So the pasuk seems to me over here it's referring to Hashem, who comes from Batsra with garments stained with the blood of the heavenly minister of Rome. So you hear what's going on. So we're going to see that this angel is going to be executed, and Batsra will not protect him. Okay, even the angel has no blood. The verse portrays his punishment in human terms. Okay, anyway, Shem's going to remove that angel. So who's coming from Edom with blood-stained garments from Batsra? So it's talking about that Hashem destroys this angel in Batsra. So let's see what the mistakes this angel makes. Toa, number one mistake, Shaino Coletus Ella Betzer. The city of refuge, if you recall, we mentioned the six cities of refuge. One was called Betzer. That's a whole different city. Vugolala Batsra. He went to Batsra. If you recall, Betzer was one of the three cities that Moshe did on the east side of the Jordan. So the angel confuses Betzer with Batsra. The
spelling mixed up.
It's a different city. It's two different cities. Like you have Ramla and Ramallah. Yes. It's a little different.
Yes.
First time I saw that sign on Bathurst Street, twins, I go, what?
It's an Arab
that's where I grew up.
No, it's not Ramallah, it's Ramla. So it's not much of a difference, Betzer and Batzra. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah teaches that even Reish Lakish, one of the Tanaim, himself confused Betzer with Batzra, where Rabbi Yochanan informed him that they were different places. So Reish Lakish realizes that this is going to be the mistake that the Malchamav is going to make as well.
Malchamav is going to this Gemara, right?
Those is after, yeah. That's, they don't know Aramaic.
Yeah.
They don't know Aramaic, so it's written in Aramaic.
Don't Angels. Tell them the secret.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, Toa Shedo Koletta Selashogi. Number two, an Aramiklet only helps an inadvertent killer. But for who may he hoya? But he does it deliberately. Number three, Toa Sheino Koletas Ella Adam. And third, it only gives refuge to a human being, for whom Malach, and he is an angel. Who Malach, who? Okay. Interesting. He says here, the goal of Adam of a human being is another human being. Against a human, the city of refuge can protect. The goal of Adam of the Jewish nation is Hashem, whose glory fills the whole world. So you can't hide from Hashem anywhere. Okay, very good. All right, so that's that, Gemara. Next, very interesting point now. What would you say if a Levi lives in an Ir HaMiklat, right, and he dies? Where should the Levi be buried? What would you think? Should be buried in the Ir HaMiklat. Well, not so. Amar Rav Avo says, Ore Miklat, Lo nisnu l'kfura. Cities of refuge were not given to the Levim to be buried. Why? Because let's see what they were given them for. L'ksiv, because the Pasuk said, we just had it last Shabbos, u'migrisheichem, and their open areas that are around the city. First of all, you don't bury anybody in the city. You never bury anybody in the city because it's tumah. Yeah. So you're going to the open fields that are outside.
Right.
So the open areas will be you live hemtem for their animals, vilechushem, and for their belongings, uchachayosam, and all their life needs. Okay, that's what the outside areas are for. So therefore they're given lechayim nosnu, they're given for living in the outside areas, velolikvura, but not for dying in the outside areas. Okay? Okay, so now the question is, where were they buried? They were given burial grounds of their own outside the tchum of the city. In other words, you have the city, and then you've got outside areas and the tchum, and then outside of that, they were given to bury, but not in that area that's just in the tchum of that area surrounding the city there. That's for other needs. So what's going to be the obvious question?
Where are these guys buried?
Who? We said that the guy who kills inadvertently, who's in the Ir HaMiklat, who dies, he's buried in the Ir HaMiklat. Meisvei will ask you a question. We already learned on the page before. Shama, it says the word there, and we said it says we're there three times. Sham Tehei Dirasa, there is where his dwelling place is. Sham Tehei Misasa, that's where he dies. Sham Tehei Kfurasa, that's where he's buried. So that's where he's buried. How come the murderer gets buried in the Ir HaMiklat's area and not the Levite? The answer is, what do you want? What can I do? Rotzeach Shiny, a murderer is different. The Goli Bei Rachmana, the Torah specifically revealed that he is to be buried there. Normally you can't be buried there, but the Torah said he is buried there. Now, the questioner assumed that if the city may be used to bury an outsider, the killer, it certainly may be used to bury its regular residents, the Levim. That was the question. Gemara now explains that the permit to bury a killer in a city of refuge is an anomaly, cannot be extended to the city's usual residents. Burial of a killer is part of the exile. That's part of the exile punishment, as we said Shabbos morning, we did the piece of the Slonim Arevi. It's thus a proper function of the city of refuge. Burial of ordinary residents, however, is not. Miri adds that the burial of a killer is different because it's only temporary, as we're going to see, right? For after the death of the Kohen Gadol, the killer's bones are disinterred from the city of refuge and transported to its ancestral burial grounds. So either way, he doesn't stay. It's only a temporary burial. The Levites, whatever they're going to be buried, it's got to be a permanent burial. And therefore, we don't bury them at all in the city, but we bury them outside the city. Good. Okay. Next topic. It says like this, Mishnah, going back to the Mishnah now. Kishem She'er Koletas, the Mishnah, just like a city of refuge gives the refuge, so too does the Tchum, the 2,000 Amos outside the city, that's the Tchum of the city, also provides refuge for the person. The Gemara is going to ask a question from a Braisa. For Amino, but if you see there's a Bryce that says differently, it says they deduce from the pasuk for Yashav Ba and the inadvertent killer. He will dwell in the city, and the Bryce learns Ba in it, Velo Bitchuma, and not in the Tchum. Only there in the city, but not in the city limits outside the Tchum, which obviously would mean that it would not provide him with refuge, while our Mishnah says it does provide him with refuge. Right? Our Mishnah says that if he goes in the city or in the Tchum, he has refuge from the Gol Adam.
Living outside of the city, on the Tchum, they had houses there.
No, he's saying not to.
Yeah, I know, but...
You live in the city. That's what the pasuk says. Yeah. You live in the city. Velo bitchuma, and not...
They're not outside of the city.
They're not.
So why would they worry about them living outside them?
They're telling you can't build any homes
right
there. That's what the Bryce is saying.
Oh.
Bryce is saying...
As soon as you cross the border, as soon as you cross that area around the city, you're safe.
Okay, again, you've got the city,
right,
and you've got the border around. All right?
Just have to cross
so this Gemara said, the Mishnah says, once you're in the Tchum, you're safe.
Yes.
Okay, you can be there. Okay? So now, but it's different, Bryce. It says, you can live in the city, but you can't live over here. Yeah. So Gemara feels that's a question. So what do you think is going to be the obvious answer? Omar Abaye, Abaye says, Lo kash, it's not a question. It's two different things. Kan liklot, the Mishnah is talking about refuge, to get killed. So you don't get killed once you're in the city limits, the outside, in the Tchum.
Right.
But the Bryce is talking about living, putting up a house and living. Kan ladur, but here it's talking about dwelling. So the Bryce is saying you can't put up a house in the Tchum. That you cannot do. But it's not arguing with the Mishnah that says it provides refuge. There's two different things.
So anywhere you go through, you can't live there.
You can't live there, but once you're in there, you're free.
That's temporary.
It's like, you know, in tag, you know, you catch the guy till he touches home base, right? So the Tchum is part of home base. If you're running for safety, yeah, it will afford you safety and protection.
Safety.
But you can't live in the outer area of the Tchum. Again, you have the city is here. This is where the homes are. This is where everyone's supposed to live. Then you got the outside city limits, the Tchum. That protects you if you happen to run. And I'm in here. Now he can't kill me anymore. That's the Mishnah says.
There's nothing in the Tichum for him. He's no
well,
food.
But we're but still, again, let's say this line is the city limit, right? Yeah. The outside. All you have, this is homes, this is fields. Yeah. The Mishnah says once the guy is run, he's here, he cannot be killed.
Yes.
But the Bryce says, but he can't start putting up a house over here. So it's not a contradiction. It protects you if you're here, but you can't build a city over there. Can't make a permanent dwelling, but it certainly provides refuge. And really, if you look at the words of the Mishnah Brisa, it's implicit. He says, the Mishnah says, regarding a city of refuge, it says, Kishem Sha'ir Koletes, just like the city provides protection, so does the Tchum provide protection. The Brisa, speaking of the killer, dwelling in the city, V'yoshava, he will live there. Therefore, he can live in the city, but he can't live in the Tchum that's outside the city. Okay, matter of fact, this holds true not only for one who's temporarily located in the Tchum, but also for one who dwells there, albeit illegally. You're not supposed to live there. Though his dwelling there is forbidden, he does not forfeit his protection. So let's say the Gol Adam just put up a tent anyway over there.
Yeah.
He can't do that, but he's still protected because he is still within the Tchum. Okay, fine. That's the two different laws. So now the Gemara says, Well, wait a minute. You want to tell me, what do I need the Brisa? You want to tell me the Brisa? We thought the Brisa meant you can't live there. It doesn't save you. We thought the Brisa said a lot of things. If you're limiting it now just you can't live there, Ladur, even though the Brisa's whole purpose is that you just can't dwell there, but certainly will protect you. Well, if it's only telling us that, we don't need that because we know that from a different pasuk. Tepuk lei, we could learn differently from the Mishan Erchin. Mishan Erchin says, "The ein osin sada migrish." You may not make a field into an open area. There's different areas in a city. You've got the city, you've got open areas and fields. So you can't change that designation. In the Art Scroll, it's there. It's Machlokas, three-way Machlokas with the Rishonim, exactly what it is. You have the main city, then you've got open areas, and then you've got fields. So you can't change any of them. Number, it gives a whole examples. They may not make a field into an open area, v'lo migrish sada, nor an open area into a field. V'lo migrish ir, you can't make an open area into the city and you build homes there. V'lo ir migrish, you can't make the city into an open area. So you see, from all that, you can't make the open area into a city. So you already know you can't do that. So what do I need a Brisa to tell me? That if you're telling me the Brisa was only telling me that you can't live there, I know that from another Mishan Erchin. Now here's a little more of the details. Levite cities, in which are included are in Miklat, were surrounded by a perimeter of 2,000 amos. That's 1 kilometer. 1 kilometer radius around. The inner half kilometer was known as the Migrash, or the open area. Nothing was built in the area. The open space made the city beautiful and airy, like a park.
The Green Belt.
The outer 1,000 amos were designated for tillage, planting fields and vineyards. This division arises from an apparent discrepancy between verses, blah, 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 blah. Okay, anyway, it's forbidden to convert any part of the tillage area into an imigrash open area. For cultivation of land is a fulfillment of the mitzvah to settle Eretz Yisrael. Destroying fields negates this mitzvah. It's forbidden to use the migrash area for tillage because this would diminish the beauty of the city. Got two things. You want the city to look beautiful. You want to be able to harvest the land of Israel. It's forbidden to build houses in the Migrash area because this too would detract from the city's beauty. It's forbidden to make part of the city into an open area by demolishing its houses because one may not destroy a settled area of homes in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah did not say so explicitly, but it was forbidden also to build houses in the area set aside for tillage. Makes sense. So we already know that. You can't do that. So what do I need to say that this Brisa that says that the guy who killed inadvertently can't live in the open areas, we already know that. Now, if we thought it meant that he isn't saved from a killer, that would have been a new insight. But we already answered that's not so, because our Mishnah says he is saved from a killer. So you tell me that Bryce is only telling me that he can't live there. I know that from a missionary, and you can't live there already. So Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Bryce is saying. It's interesting. Amar Rav Sheshes, you know what that Bryce comes to add to the Mishnah? It says you can't dig any underground tunnels and live underneath there. In other words, the outside, the beauty of the city, planning land, but what do you dig up basements under that area? Maybe the killer could live underneath, right? Tunnels. So Bryce is teaching us, in the case of underground tunnels, extending beneath the tchum, since these tunnels do not protrude above ground, from the Mishnah Erchin, I guess you could do that.
Levite.
And it's permitted for Levites to dig there. A Levite could. Without the Brisa, we'd assume the killer too could dwell in such a tunnel. The Brisa never expounds the verse in it to teach a killer has to be in the city proper and not underneath. Interesting. Although the tunnels opened into the tchum, their existence did not violate the prohibition against building in the tchum. For the opening of a tunnel is flush with the ground; it has no profile above ground. You can just get into it, but that's it. It adds no clutter to the landscape, and no way detracts from it. So that becomes the answer. So now we see that the Gol Adam, even though Levites can live under the tchum, the killer cannot live under the ground. But the tchum area does provide safety from him, from a Goldam that wants to kill him. Okay, Let's start the next piece over here. I don't know if we're going to finish the next piece. Got a couple more minutes. We had a Mishnah, a Machlokes. Was it Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi Aglili and I think Rabbi Meir, whatever, about is there a mitzvah for the redeemers of blood to kill him or only it's their option to kill him? Remember we had a Machlokes, two Tanoim, what were the names?
Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva.
Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili, if I believe correctly, said that it's a mitzvah for the redeemers of blood to kill him, while Rabbi Akiva said and other people, if they want to, they can.
Yeah.
Rabbi Akiva took it down a notch. He said, "It's if the Gol Adam wants to, he can. And other people, we had a machlokes, how to learn the girsus of there, that others can kill him, or they get executed for killing him. It was a different girsus. So that's, we're going on that. We're bringing up Brisa now. It's going to expand on that idea. The Pasuk says, when it says, and the redeemer of the blood will kill the killer, right, is the whole pasuk. If the killer goes out of the boundaries and the golem finds him, he kills him and says, ein lo dam, he has no blood. So how do we understand that pasuk? Again, it says, if the killer goes out, what the key word is now, verotzach goel adam, and the redeemer of blood kills him. Now, what does it mean, the word virotzach? Is that going to mean it's a mitzvah to kill him, or if he does kill him? How do you translate that word, virotzach? And the Redeemer of Blood kills him. So what does that mean exactly, right? In English, it says the Redeemer of Blood will kill the killer. So what does that mean? So the first opinion says, mitzvah biyad gol adam. It's a mitzvah for the Redeemer of Blood to kill him. And if Ein gol hadam, and if there is no redeemer of blood, then reshus biad kol adam, then everyone else has an option. That's the qualification. If there is no redeemer of blood, okay, that implies that if there is a redeemer, it's not permissible for others to kill the exile. The Mishnah, however, issues no such qualifications, from which we may infer that even if there is a remiss, others may still ask. Remember, the Torah is saying, "Veratzach kol adam." It says the killer, what about others? So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, others, if they want, they can. Okay, but look what he says. It was very clear. He said, "Ein kol adam." Okay, that's added to what the Mishnah said, right? If there is no redeemer of blood, okay, then others can kill him. Mashman, if there is a redeemer of blood, you can't.
Right.
That's the Brisa. The Mishnah didn't make that qualification. There's a difference between the Mishnah and the Brisa. Okay? Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That's the statements of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Aglili says, no. It means Rishos Biad Gol Adam. The Pasuk means that the redeemer of blood only can if he wants to. And now V'chol on everybody else, we already said there's two ways to read this next line. Chayav Malav, they're guilty for killing him. Or remember we said the gross change that says they're not chayav for killing him, but they really shouldn't do, but they don't get killed. It's machlokas what that is. So now I understand, but let's go to the main thing. The Gol Adam, is it a mitzvah or reshus? Rabbi Yossi Aglili says mitzvah. The next opinion says reshus. So my time to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What's this for Rabbi Yossi Aglili to say it's a mitzvah? Because he says, Miksiv, does it say, Imratzach, if the Redeemer kills him? It doesn't say if, would seem to imply it's optional. It doesn't say if, it says, Veratzach, can be read as connoting command or discretion. It's evident from the scriptural's dual use of the similarly constructed word, Va'asa, right? It means shall do. So it seems he's saying it means you will kill. It doesn't say if you kill. Rabbi Akiva Amar, no. Miksiv doesn't say the action word Yirtzach, he shall kill. It doesn't say he shall kill. It says that he will kill. Yirtzach is more of a, it's going to happen for sure. So therefore, the word for Ratzach is kind of parv. It's not im Ratzach, if he kills, which is clearly means optional. It doesn't say Yirtzach, which clearly means he must kill. It says Veratzach, so it's a parv language. So there's a machlokas in that parv language. Good place for us to stop for today. Okay, shkoyach.